Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Cynthia, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
We're good, thank you. So what was your reaction, first and foremost, when you saw Jamal Adams got traded?
You know, I was a little surprised just because, you know, Jamal Adams is one of the younger players in the NFL to be in his third season. He's still only 24 years old. We've seen him be a little, I'm going to call it vocal, maybe tweeting, you know, often about things that other players wouldn't necessarily do. And we've also seen kind of they kind of get past it as an organization. But I was a little surprised that they let him go, because Jamal Adams is a bona fide star, probably the best safety in terms of how he plays the position that the league has right now and probably will have for the foreseeable future. So, you know, I was a little surprised that they actually let him go, and you know, they did get a lot of equity in return. I mean, two firsts is a haul, but it's really hard to find someone to replace him, especially that kind of multi-purpose Swiss Army knife that can be, you know, a guy who's a banger up front and also drop into coverage. So, you know, honestly, I think the Seahawks may have won this one despite giving up two firsts.
Well, I was interested to see what you think of him, Cynthia, because, I mean, everybody knows he's a good player. He's impactful. He's a great athlete. But I think it's two career interceptions. And, I mean, he plays in coverage, and he can cover, but he hasn't, you know, shown a super nose for the ball. And if he does have those coverage skills and he does have the potential to be an Earl Thomas type back there, then how much do you want him around the line of scrimmage? Because he's going to give you some sacks, obviously, but that's probably not his forte. You know, he's kind of a little bit of a puzzle for me.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, for me, he's a little bit of a puzzle. Like, I'm not sure if he's fully been unlocked yet.
For sure. That's what I was about to say. So, first off, you know, the Jets secondary, to say that beyond Jamal Adams, okay, Marcus May is good, but to beyond that, their corners were dicey. How about that? Dicey corners. So you have some interesting schemes. And then, you know, Greg Williams is known for being unpredictable. You saw him be unpredictable in Cleveland. His whole career, you've seen an unpredictability. And that, in his kind of, you know, no risk it, no biscuit style up front, well, that's how they use Jamal Adams, because that's how he got all of those sacks. Safeties don't typically have as many sacks as Jamal Adams had. So that pressure package that was designed with him in mind, that was a function of, you know, they were missing C.J. Mosley, who you guys know well in Baltimore, but when he got injured last season, they're missing a lot of pieces along that front, defensive front. So they're like, well, we have this guy. He's a banger. Let's put him up front, get him 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and just let him go hunt the quarterback. But if you look to see how Todd Bowles deployed him, and yes, it's a little unfair because it was his first season, and, you know, you don't know who you are in the NFL necessarily right when you join. But Todd Bowles, who to me is one of the best defensive masterminds that I track of anyone, you know, in the last like 15 years since I've been tracking. And the way he deployed him was in kind of multiple packages with specific coverage situations and responsibilities, too. So you did see that with Todd more than you did with Greg Williams.
Cynthia, it's interesting, though. So Seattle gave up two ones, a three, and a player. And you're leaning Seattle as the winner in this deal.
I know. And, you know, look at what Seattle didn't do. You know, who's going to rush the passer for them?
Yep.
Because I'm not sure who's going to rush a passer for them. And I don't know if they are necessarily, because they didn't sign Jadeveon Clowney. You know, their secondary is young. They've got some great, obviously Bobby Wagner's a ridiculous piece in the middle. So they've kind of got like the linebacking situation addressed. Adding Jamal Adams gives them some reinforcement and depth.
at the safety position, you know, up front and also in coverage. So the middle of the field seems to be pretty well covered. But if there was someone who creatively could totally unlock the potential of Jamal Adams, it's going to be Pete Carroll. So, and they also have the advantage. They agreed that they would not sign the long-term deal, that Jamal Adams would, quote-unquote, be happy not having that long-term deal solidified. So they now can kind of figure out how to amortize his very high upcoming salary along with probably a defensive end or some sort of pass rusher, so they can get kind of two and figure out how to maneuver the cap in such uncertain times that it that will serve them really well, not just for this season, but also going forward.
Talking to Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network here on Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan. And Cynthia, you study inequalities and the markets and value. All of a sudden, trading two ones is not a taboo anymore. It seems to be part of the norm. Is that something that might be sort of baked into your model as well, and why you lean Seahawks? Because that's not crazy talk anymore, right? I mean, Tunsil, Ramsey, it seems to be happening with more regularity.
Yeah, look, the other thing that, look, you, the one thing that is seemingly a benefit to a team is if they have their quarterback situation locked down. Now, I don't want to say locked down from the standpoint of it doesn't need to be Russell Wilson's top of the market salary, and it also doesn't need to be a rookie salary, right? Like Deshaun Watson had, that's kind of how the Texans have maneuvered the Laramie Tunsil situation for that first. But having some certainty at those five key positions, so quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher, corner, and wide receiver, the more certainty you have at those five positions, the more flexible you can be about your first-round pick. I mean, look at the Steelers. They got Minkah Fitzpatrick for that first-round pick from the Dolphins, and that paid off last year already. They almost made it to the playoffs with, you know, a third-string quarterback at the helm.
Talking to Cynthia Freeland, it's Inside Access here on a Monday. Cynthia, I'm just curious, obviously all three of us want football. We love football. We want to see football. In light of what we've seen in the last 24 hours with the Marlins situation, has that made you more apprehensive about football getting going in September?
You know, it would have had we not. So last week at the NFL Network, we have a summit, and every year the summit sort of tells us the state of the league. It tells us the new rules. It tells us the new protocols, everything we need to know as members of the media. And one of the biggest focuses of that was from Dr. Alan Sills, the chief medical doctor for the NFL, who took us through a pretty good in-depth like look at what is going on and what is going to be asked of the players and the teams in order to ensure safety. And it seems as though, you know, there's some advantages football players have, namely wearing a helmet. You know, we all are walking around wearing masks. Now, football players have a mask on the entire time. So there are opportunities to turn it into something where, you know, look, we have often 6 or 7 days between games. If you play Monday or play Thursday, that could be a little different. But you have like 6 days between games. So you do have some time. There seems to be some contingency plans in place. It seems like because we have scarcity and fewer games to contend with, it's not like if a player tests positive, then you know, you have some time to plan. It's not like you're playing at 3 p.m. and then the next day you're playing at 12:05 and then the next day you're playing at, you know, 1:25. You know what I'm saying? So there's some advantages that are baked into our schedule, and they've really had taken the time to go through. You know, it didn't seem like it was coming together because you saw these players tweeting about how they hadn't reached a deal, et cetera. But behind the scenes, the negotiations between the league and the players' union have really yielded some very, you know, nobody knows. Nobody knows at all, but it seems like to the best of our ability, I felt a lot more confident having listened and participated in our summit than I did any other time.
Cynthia, going back to the first time we had you on, you know, we talked a little bit about competitive imbalance, and some teams are going to be better equipped to hit the ground running this year than others, because at that point we knew we were only going to have a virtual offseason, and we figured that training camp would be different. We didn't know how drastically different. Now we know. Really only 2 weeks of padded practices, no preseason games. It's kind of like 0-60, and here we go, and they count. Does that now, as you reevaluate win totals and projections and who you like and who you don't like, do you kind of factor that in even sort of more on steroids now that we know just how little time a Joe Burrow is going to have, period, or a Baker Mayfield's going to have, you know, with a new offense? And do the rich get that much richer and the poor get that much poorer?
I would say the asterisk there is that teams with really good defenses will have an advantage in the beginning, especially with more mature, meaning fewer rookie defensive players. but the defense will tend to have a bit of an advantage. We've seen this in kind of, if you look to see sort of like, even from these developmental leagues like the Alliance and XFL, you know, offenses will take a bit longer to gel, even though they know what they're doing and they're supposed to execute and the defense has to react. What we've actually seen is that defenses have a bit of an advantage because as the offense is coming together, the defense kind of knows what they need to do. So ultimately, a team with a really good veteran defense or a team with a lot of veterans overall. So, for example, the Kansas City Chiefs, they have a huge advantage because they have so much continuity, even losing a lineman. But, you know, a team like the Steelers, they have a pretty big advantage, too, given their defense and the fact that there are very few, you know, they've played together now.
Right.
And they've shown how they can play really well. So if that – I can't remember who the Steelers play week one, but if it's Steelers-Bengals, for example, with Joe Burrow, who will have been taking reps that are not real game speed, then that would mean a more significant advantage for the Steelers, you know, than it had been if we had a preseason.
Cynthia, are you expecting sloppy football in September, assuming we start on time?
No, I'm actually not. Because, you know, the thing about the NFL and the thing about all of these people is that are in it is that they're really good planners. And they've actually had – what I've noticed, at least from this season, is people have really done a good job of adapting. And these adaptations that they've made are really – like, I don't think it's going to be sloppy. It might not be the type of football we're used to seeing, you know, right out of the gate. But let's be honest, September football has been less exciting in recent years because often it's just really about, you know, the preseason is used to really make distinctions between position challenges between, you know, wide receiver 7 and wide receiver 8. You know, it hasn't been used as this true kind of practice ground for what we're seeing in the season. You know, the Patriots have showed us that for a long time now. Right, their September Patriots and December Patriots often have looked very different. So it's not like I don't think we're going to see something so significantly different this season. I do though think that if you have, you know, poor Joe Burrow, like he's like I want him to succeed. Don't get me wrong, I want to see like the best football games possible between every team. But ultimately, you know, it's going to be harder. It's a more challenging condition, and you know you'll don't expect the same Joe Burrow you see. Come September, it will be different than December. He'll grow a lot more so probably even than he would have had he had a preseason.
Well, and I'm just waiting to see how a guy like Joe Judge, I mean, he's not going to have I mean, I just think a guy like that, I mean, I don't want to say the guy's got no prayer, but he won't even know everybody's name by the time they're playing games. I mean, that's just the reality.
Well, and that O-line is terrible.
Yes.
And then A.J. Green hasn't played in a year. Pretty much Joe Mixon's the most sure thing on that team.
Yeah, we'll see for some of those guys, and we'll certainly see, you know, for these rookie head coaches who, I mean, Godspeed. Godspeed. You might not even be able to have everybody in your building at once. I think it's gonna separate the men from the boys pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think we have to remember, though, that, you know, sometimes it feels like the difference between the best team in the league and the 32nd team in the league is huge. But really, it's not, right? Like, it is big, but it's not – like, they're all professional football teams. There's a reason why, you know, there are so many teams closer to 8-8. And really, you know, every year, every team has a chance to win more games than the year before. You know, so a lot of things – I'm more worried about injuries, and especially soft tissue injuries, because – you don't exactly know what kind of shape these people are keeping themselves in or if their training regimens are suited for the type of work that they're going to be doing. So I'm a little bit more worried about injuries than I am about some of the other things. Like most of them will learn the playbook. Not well, necessarily, but the playbook, that's normal, right? That's a normal learning curve thing. But I don't know. It's just soft tissue injuries, that could be an area of growth, unfortunately.
Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network. Cynthia, as always, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.